Well, good morning. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8 in verse 37 will serve as our text. Acts 8, 37. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." To get the context of our scripture, we'll begin in verse 26. "Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.' So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Notice at the end of verse 26 what the angel of the Lord tells Philip to do. He says, "Arise, go down toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." He says, "Philip, go take a walk through the desert." And what does Philip do? Does he say, "Oh Lord, there are many, many more people on these other roads"? No. We find Philip a model of obedience. He simply obeys the Lord. Doesn't make a lot of sense to him, does it? Many times the Lord will ask us to do things that don't make a lot of sense to us. And we just have to learn to trust Him, to realize that God works all things for the good of those who love Him, and to place our destiny within the path of God's providence, not trying to blaze our own trail, as it were. God's providential hand at work. Now in verses 30 and 31, Philip asks the Ethiopian eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And notice the teachable spirit of the man. He says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" There's a great danger in trying to interpret God's word apart from theology and doctrine. God has given us the church not only to proclaim the gospel, but as a bastion of truth. One of the missions of the church is to make disciples. And there are many, many other resources that we have that God can use to guide us into all truth. Of course, ultimately the one who guides us into all truth is God the Holy Spirit. But He uses His church and men and women to lead us along this road. One of the biggest mistakes that I made when I first became a Christian, and actually even before I became a Christian, I started reading the Bible. And I was just reading it. I was reading a bunch of words. I had no idea what they say, and I thought that I might come up with some novel interpretation that was a better truth than anything else that might have been out there. Well, first of all, it took me a long time to get saved that way. I needed somebody to come along and actually explain these things. And secondly, I wasn't able to really grow until I submitted myself to the mighty hand of God and set my pride aside, realizing that I don't have all the answers. And this man embodied that teachable spirit. If we are to be Christ's disciples, we must be teachable. No matter how much we think we know, no matter how much we think we understand this book, we all have to be ready to learn. Discipleship, Christian discipleship, is a lifelong process. Verses 32 and 33, we find that the place in the scripture where the man was reading was from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter which talks about the suffering servant. It speaks of the first advent of Jesus Christ 700 years before it happened, in considerable detail, and it also brings forth theological implications. It defines the suffering servant as not only the Messiah, but also the divine Messiah who had the authority to forgive sins. Now, it's very interesting what the question that the eunuch asks Philip. I ask of you, whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Now, we've been talking about evangelism quite a bit these last few weeks. We'll be talking a little bit more about evangelism or soul winning in the weeks to come. And this question is very pertinent to it. When you come across somebody who accepts Old Testament truth, but not New Testament truth, specifically the Orthodox Jew, perhaps the best thing to do, or at least in my experience, a good approach to take would be to lead them to Isaiah chapter 53, read this, and ask the same question that the eunuch asked Philip. I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And you can begin to preach Jesus beginning at that scripture. Notice what Philip does in preaching Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. Scripture is amazing. It's unsearchable. It's so deep that we could preach an infinite number of sermons on any one text in this word. That's how amazingly deep God's word is. Verse 36. Now as they came down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" So they come down the road, and Philip is preaching the gospel to this man. And in his preaching, there's obviously a component of it which speaks of water baptism. So he speaks of this, and this being in the forefront of his mind, He looks over and he says, See here, here's a body of water. What hinders me from being baptized? Like, why can't I be baptized now? Is there some reason? Is there something else that I have to do, Philip? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Philip makes his confession of something that had just taken place in his heart. And Philip proceeds to baptize him. So here we have an example of the scriptural order. Perhaps Philip, being an evangelist, filled with the Holy Spirit, having spent time with the original disciples from the beginning, we read of him being installed as a deacon in Acts chapter 6. He may have quoted something along these lines, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Notice the order here. Belief and then baptism. Inward conversion and then outward profession, which resulted in a particular action, namely obedience to the Lord's holy ordinance. Notice also here that believers are baptized, but that nobody is condemned for not being baptized. For example, we have the example of the man on the cross on the side of Jesus, and Jesus says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Now this man didn't have a water baptism up there. But nevertheless, his inward confession was enough that he was saved. Now there are many Christians, many blood-bought believers, who have professed faith in Christ, but they've never submitted to the ordinance of Christian baptism. That makes them saved Christians. They're still believers. They still have a home in heaven. It just makes them disobedient ones because